Family, I'm super excited. This is one of the things I love. I love Agile. I fell in love with it probably over the last 2 years. And the reason why I fell in love with it is because it really teaches you about being adaptable. And so one of the things we're going to unpack is the Agile Manifesto. But the twist is we're going to talk about it from a process standpoint and a people standpoint. On my journey of really going back over the Agile practice guide and studying and preparing, I came across this and I was like, I never even looked at it like this. So this is how PMI looks at it. I don't know if Agile, because I didn't see anything on it until I started reading information regarding the PMI. So we're first going to unpack the 12 principles, and then we're going to break each of the principles down, either based off of process or people and why it is that. Okay. So principle number one, our highest priority is to satisfy the customer through early and continuous delivery of valuable software, welcoming changing requirements, even late in the development. Agile process harness change for the customer, a competitive advantage, delivering working software frequently from a couple of weeks to a couple of months, which is a preference to a shorter time scale. Business people and developers must work together daily throughout the project, build projects around motivated. Yes, let's get, okay, I'm just playing. Get motivated individuals, give them the environment and support they need, and trust that they'll get the job done. I could probably go on a rant there, but you guys probably don't want to hear that. So let's keep moving. The most efficient and effective method for conveying information and within a development team is more face-to-face conversation. Working software is our primary measure of progress. Agile process promotes sustainable development. The sponsors, developers, and users should be able to maintain a consistent pace and fidelity, or indefinitely. I said infidelity like you cheated or something. But no, seriously, that one is a huge point, and we're going to really unpack that. Continuous attention to technical excellence and good design enhances agility. Simplicity. We ain't got to make it complicated. The art of maximizing the amount of work not done is essential. The best architects, requirements, and the designs emerge from my favorite thing, self-organizing teams. At regular intervals, the team reflects on how to become more effective and tunes and adjusts to the behaviors accordingly. That's the Agile Manifesto. Now, let's break down principle number one. Customer satisfaction through continuous delivery. Our highest priority is to satisfy our customers through early and continuous delivery of valuables. Why is this important? So this principle emphasizes the mechanism of delivering value continuously. It's required structure, repeatable process, such as iterative development, or basically frequent releases. This ensures software is delivered early and often. The measurement and adaptation. So process such as sprint planning, reviews, demos are used continuously to validate the customer's need and making process itself the driver for achieving customer satisfaction. A next process that's a principle, welcoming changing requirements. Welcoming changing requirements even late in development, Agile process harnesses change for the customer's competitive advantages. This is a process because the principle is about building flexibility into the project workflow. It is required processes that are designed to absorb change through practice like backlog refinement, or they say refining the backlog, iterative planning, we normally say sprint planning, or change management. So systematic approach to change, rather than relying solely on interpersonal communication, the focus is on having a robust process framework that turns change into an advantage. All right, next principle. Frequent delivery of working software. So this principle is delivering working software frequently from a couple of weeks to a couple of months within a preference to a shorter time scale. This is a process, and the reason why is because time box iteration. This is achieved through disciplined processes such as sprints, iterations that ensure regular and incremental or deliveries, reliable and predictable. So this process-oriented approach helps in establishing a cadence and predictable delivery schedule, making it easier to measure progress as well as manage risk. Principle number seven, so working software as a progress measure. So Working software is our primary measure of progress. It doesn't matter. A lot of times in project, we'll be like, yeah, we're at about 30% or 10%, but a lot of agile. Our primary, how we judge if we're having success is that, do we have working software? Is this something a customer can go and test and actually use? So outcome-driven process. This principle shifts the focus from extensive documentation to tangible outcomes produced by the development process. Validation through process, so continuous integration, automating testing, deployment pipelines are all process mechanisms that confirm progress via actual functioning software than those theoretical plans, those big, huge project management plans, those project managers create. And then we realize we end up playing, okay, I'll keep it very professional. We end up saying to ourselves, Jesus, please take the wheel because we did all of this plan and none of it doesn't even make any sense anymore because we done found an external issue. Now we need to go back and replan. So one of the aspects that I love about having an agile mindset, even as a project manager, is saying, yeah, we can plan, but there's a certain point where we may need to cut off planning and really start focusing on actually executing. But I digress. Continuous attention to technical excellence. So continue attention to technical excellence and good design enhances agility, quality engineering practices, systematic improvements, and then of course, enhanced agility. This is a process because maintaining high technical standards is achieved by instituting rigorous processes such as code reviews, refactoring, as well as automating testing. A lot of times people have a misconception about Scrum or extreme programming or any of these under the Lean umbrella or Agile. They just have a very misconception. There's no documentation and who's testing, and it's so many misconceptions. This is why I'm always looking to clear it up. And maybe it was just me because I had a huge misconception when I first got introduced to Agile. And as I continue to grow in this and actually lead projects or be a Scrum Master or be an Agile project manager, I'm like, oh, wow, that makes sense now. So it's defined through engineering practices and technical processes that lead to sustainable quality, therefore, or thereby enhancing quality agility. Simplicity and maximizing work, not done. I think out of all of the principles, like this is like one of my top five, because you know how people will try and overcomplicate a particular process because they want to look smart and genius. Yeah, so you got to do this. And you like, but why? What if I just did this? I'll knock out this step and that step and I won't even have to worry about that. Maybe it's just some of the people that I've dealt with in my career, but it's definitely just pay attention for that, family, because anytime that you can have simplicity, improve process optimization, and keep a lean approach mindset, people are going to want to work with you. If you don't got me filling out 13 processes to get to the outcome, and we can limit that and still get the same value, why wouldn't we look at that? Why wouldn't we address it? It reminds me of that story when they were, and I know this may be off base, but it's still aligned with what we're talking about, where the grandmother was cooking chicken in a pot and she had a bone sticking out the pot. And the mother said, hey, why do you cook chicken like that with the bone sticking out the pot? And she said, I don't know. She said, so she reached out to her people. And what it found out is that the reason why is because of the fact of it was the pots back then were smaller size. And so a lot of times, if we don't question the process, if we don't understand why are we doing this, because that irritates me when somebody is doing a process and they can't articulate to you, hey, why are we doing this? I don't understand why we're doing this. It doesn't make sense. Are we doing it because it's going to bring more business value or value to the product or service? And when they can't articulate that, you just know they're just going along and not really. And I don't want to use the word challenging because it's not about challenging. It's saying, how can we make this easier on the team? All right, that's my rant. Anyway, why is this a process? This principle is about streamlining work by eliminating unnecessary tasks. It involves refining processes to focus on value-adding activity. Yes, I slowed it down. If you're frustrated with me because of my rant, and that's good, because if you're going after the ACP or you're doing a CSM or PSM, you're going to remember this. You remember when he was talking about the chicken in the pot and the simplicity? You're welcome. All right. people-oriented principles. Let's unpack this. So daily collaboration between businesses and developers. So business people and developers must, and I use the word must, work together daily throughout the project. Why is this people-centric? My favorite word, collaboration, and my next one, of course, is communication. See, the focus here is on human interaction that drives project success. Daily collaboration ensures alignment and quick decision-making. Relationship building, it's about fostering a culture where business stakeholders and developers continuously engage and share ideas to resolve issues together. That's what I love. When you're on a team and an issue comes up and the team says, hey, we're all hands on deck. Let's throw out some different solutions. There's no such thing as a dumb solution or an improper solution, because that one may even actually work, but you're trying to be so sophisticated that you're not looking at the simplicity of solving this particular problem. All right, building projects around motivated individuals. When you build a project around people that are excited about what the outcome is going to be, how it's going to be, how we're going to come together and collaborate. When you're on a project it's peaceful. Not peaceful as far as there can be a whole bunch of chaos around the team, but the peace that the team has, knowing, hey, we're going to get this done, knowing, hey, we're all in. We're not just putting our foot in and then pulling it back. No, we are all in. So this principle centers around trusting and empowering people. It emphasizes that the best work comes from individuals who are motivated. And this is a key word, because if this doesn't happen, people can't really feel motivated and supported. So team morale, the human element of fostering creativity, accountability, and autonomy is the critical factor here, rather than an underlying process alone. So build projects around motivated individuals, give them environment and support they need, and trust they're professional, trust that they're going to get it done. Don't get into no micromanaging because you're insecure that you may lose. No. Give them an environment. Give them the support. And trust that they'll get the job done. This is what you're paying them for. If you need to hover over them, you have the wrong people in place. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm not sorry. All right. Face-to-face communication. So face-to-face communication, direct communication, or nuance of clarity. What I mean by that is, more or less, there's a lot of noise. There's so many different channels of communication that you can have, but really face-to-face or direct communication, or even video, are really where the clarity comes in. So the most efficient, effective method for conveying information to and within a development team is face-to-face. Why? Because this principle underscores that real and interpersonal communication is key to effective collaboration. So when you think about face-to-face interaction, it enables nuanced discussions that reduce misunderstandings, which cannot be replaced solely by a formal process. Sometimes when there's discussion going on, a formal process is not going to really aid that discussion that we may be having, because something came up and we go into a quick huddle to have a discussion about it. All right, sustainable development pace. So sustainable development being a sustainability and cultural commitment. So agile process promotes sustainable development. The sponsors, developers, and users should be able to maintain a consistent or constant pace indefinitely. Why is this people-centric? Although processes like sprint planning and workload management support this, the core, the foundation, emphasizes on people and ensuring they have the energy and resources to work sustainable over the long term. It highlights the need for a balanced work environment where team members are respected and not overburdened. You ever been leading a project, and I'm talking about more of a predictive or a waterfall type of project, and it's just you start getting bombarded with all type of requests and additions and add-ons. And it is like, when you are working in a Scrum environment, none of that, I mean, it comes, but if you have a good Scrum master, he knows how to give them the Heisman respectfully. Because one of the things is that people always are looking to add and they don't even see what we already have. So you want to be cognizant of that. All right. And the next one is self-organizing teams. the best architects, requirements, and designs emerge from, again, one of my favorites, family, self-organizing teams. Why is this people-centric? Team autonomy. This principle is clear, is a clear endorsement of human capacity for creativity and collaboration, empower collaboration. It trusts that self-organizing team and their collective expertise and cooperative spirit can produce a superior outcome without heavy-handed process controls. Regular team reflection and adjustment. We normally think of this as we call a retrospective. So regular intervals, you can call it a stand-up, a daily coordination, a 15-minute touch point. There's so many different names out there that I've heard, that I've experienced. But it's just basically just asking, what are you working on? What did you work on yesterday? What did you work on yesterday? What are you working on today? And most of the foundational question is, are you experiencing any impediments? Are there any impediments there? And the biggest thing there, I want to make sure that we're aware of, we don't solve the impediment there. I've seen that happen where as a scrum master, you would see somebody, they would want to solve the impediment there. You don't do that. It's not, this is a check-in. This is a touch point because we want to get the team back to work so they can keep the main thing. So team reflection, effectiveness, improvement, behavior adjustment. So at regular intervals, the team reflects on how to become more effective, then tunes and adjusts its behavior accordingly. Normally in lead in a predictive or waterfall type of methodology, we wait until the end, which we call the lessons learned register, or some just call it lessons learned. Why is this people-centric? Continuous improvement through reflection. This principle is about the team's ability to learn as well as evolve. And then the culture of feedback, it relies on the willingness, and I use that really strong, the willingness of the team members to engage in honest self-assessment. This is why we always talk about a safe place, fostering a safe place. And sometimes that does take time with the team to create and to feel comfortable to say, hey, John, listen, the last sprint, you didn't deliver like you normally do. What is going on? Is it something at home? Is it a frustration? Let's just have an honest, transparent conversation. We don't need to sugarcoat it. We can be professional and address and really give criticism as well as receive it. I'm not trying to attack you because I know what you're capable of doing. I've seen it. I want that person back. How do we revive that person? See, it's about saying what the problem is and then us finding a solution that's going to work. So anyway, self-assessment, then changing their behavior for the better and fundamental people-centric activity. And that is it, family. I hope I unpacked everything for you today in today's episode. Let's get back to our regular putting it back on me. But yeah, I hope that I got giving you everything that you can be successful, understanding of breaking those 12 principles down by people and process. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, it just simply means it. Until next time.